Very cool. Thank y'all. That was, I got a different routine up here. Like, I have a routine when I get up there, and now it's all changed, so I've got to think a little bit more. But I can't help. I don't remember who I was talking to this morning, but it's like, you know, I'm not happy that this storm came through and any of that kind of stuff. But as we were kind of setting up for this impromptu type service with no microphones and none of that kind of stuff, there was almost, I remember when I was talking to Gail, I was like, I'm kind of excited. It's just a stripped down service that's really cool. It's just different. And there's a different type of enthusiasm that we have whenever, no matter what, we could come together and still worship God. And it's a wonderful thing. I can tell you right now, I'm probably going to have a hard time staying behind that. Over there, there's a stage, and I would fall off. Here, I can't fall off anything, so there's a good chance that I may roam around a little bit. But if you would, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. It's amazing how God works. As y'all know, I preach essentially verse by verse, chapter by chapter through God's Word. And it's just amazing how there are certain times, and I promise you I'm not smart enough for this, but there's amazing things how if you just stick to the text, how the text that happens to come up at that time is what we're going through in that moment. Right, I can think of when I preached through the Gospel of John, the election, the big election, right, that came a year or two ago. Everyone was going crazy over it. And just so happened that I came up to the Gospel of John on that weekend, right before the election, the scripture that came up was of Jesus riding his donkey into Jerusalem. And we were able to proclaim right before the election that Jesus is king. That's the Holy Spirit working. Then a few months later, I was preaching through the Gospel of John again. And I get as far as I can get. Just so happened that we came up with the resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday. It was just amazing. And as we're getting here into the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 42, the idea I had as I was kind of coming up with this sermon on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday is that we've been looking at how there was some external pressure on this thing that God was starting, this church that God was starting. There's some external pressure. And then we saw last week that he said, hey, I'm not being able to beat this through this external pressure. I'm going to go inside the church, and I'm going to try and divide the church from the inside. Right? That's what we saw last week. And it's amazing how we get to this scriptures here. And we can see that as God's church is moving, as it's going with momentum, the devil done realized, I can't divide the church from the outside. I can't divide the church from the inside. So what am I going to do? I'm going to intensify my division. I'm going to have to step it up a level, because what I'm doing right now isn't messing with this church. And as I was reading through the scriptures, I saw that everything that was happening to the apostles in the early church this week, that nothing that the Sadducees could do, nothing that the internal problems could do, could stop God's mission. Because why? We serve an absolutely unstoppable God. There is nothing that can stop our God. Not power, not music, not electricity. I mean, they met for a long time with no power and electricity. I just watched a few weeks ago this story about George Whitefield and Ben Franklin. It's an amazing movie if you get a chance to. George Whitefield was called to ministry late in his life. He goes to Oxford, I think it is, and studies and gets this calling. They push him out of England because they don't like what he's preaching. He comes over to the States and he begins preaching. And he's standing in just huge, huge crowds in front of him over here in the States. And yet somehow every single one of them could hear his voice. He becomes friends with Ben Franklin. Ben Franklin's like, there's no way that this man can preach from over there to thousands of people and them hearing him back. Ben Franklin set out to prove him wrong, went all the way to the back of the crowd and could hear him just as well as if he were in the front row. Because here's the deal, you're not going to stop God's message. They kicked him out of England. He came over here, proclaimed the message. You're not going to stop his mission, his message, or his movement. And that's what we're talking about this morning. His mission, his message, and his movement. See, the devil, all through Scripture, here's our big church word for the day. If you're ready for your big church word, it's called the meta-narrative. And what that simply means is that there is a huge story through the whole arch of the Bible. That every single book, every single verse adds to the context there, it adds to a bigger context, and it adds to the bigger vision of the entire Bible. And if we look throughout the entire Bible, time after time, someone or something has tried to stop God. We can think of Moses, right? Moses, he was in Egypt. The Pharaoh put out a decree to kill all the little baby boys. They threw him in the river. What happened with Moses? God rescued him, came up, boop, popped out of Pharaoh's house, grows up to be the Moses we know that delivered them out, right? We can think of David and Goliath. Goliath had the Israel army just shaking in its heels for 40 days. Nobody would challenge him. Israel was done for. This is impossible. There's no way we can beat this Goliath and these Philistines. And what happened? A little shepherd boy named David rose up because there is no stopping God. Three men get thrown into a furnace. The guards that threw them into the furnace died because it was so hot. Three men get thrown in the furnace, and what happens? There's four people in there. There's no stopping God. Few hundred years later, a humble rabbi came preaching a message of hope and truth and salvation. They nailed him to a cross, pronounced him dead, spear in his side, put him in a tomb. It's over. This message of this Jesus is over. And we stopped this message. But what happened on that third day? That big old stone was rolled away. Those Roman guards at the front were nowhere to be seen. And we now serve a risen Savior because there is no stopping our God. And as we get to our text this morning, as we read through it, we're going to see that they're going to try to do whatever they can to stop His mission and His message and His movement. But there again, there is no stopping an unstoppable God. And individually, when we align ourselves with His mission, His message, and His movement, there's no stopping us. Sure, we will have trials. Sure, we're going to go through things. But when we're aligned with His Word and His mission, we're unstoppable as well. And we're seeing that this morning as we're gathered here with no air conditioning and got a nice breeze on this beautiful day. We're going to open up God's Word together and we're going to see just how unstoppable our God is. Amen? All right. Since we're covering 30-something verses this morning, we're not going to read it all. And y'all are like, man, maybe this could have been shorter since we don't have power, but we'll see. We'll see how we go. We'll see how we go. The first thing I want us to see in our first few verses 12 through 26 of chapter 5, and I'll go ahead and read those, but I'm just going to read the text as we go through it, so we don't need to stand up or anything like that. But our first few verses say this, right? Now, remember, we're picking up from Ananias and Sapphira, right? We're picking up from this internal pressure. All the things. They just saw these two folks get struck dead by God. And we pick up in verse 12, says, "Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people and by the hands of the apostles. And they were all together in Solomon's portico." So Luke is setting up our geography. He's setting up what's happening right now, right? He's saying all that things happened, but still they were doing signs and wonders. Now, what are these signs, right? We looked at that when we saw the Gospel of John. These signs aren't just in the wonders. That's not what we're to worship. That's not what it was all about. Those signs and wonders point to what it was all about. And that's Jesus Christ. They were doing these signs and wonders to get the attention, to push it back on our risen Savior, on Jesus Christ. That's what the signs do. We don't eat those awesome rolls from Texas Roadhouse underneath the Texas Roadhouse sign, right? It points us to where the rolls are. And these signs and wonders that we're seeing throughout this entire book of Acts are pointing us to Jesus Christ. The second thing we see is that they were all together. They were all together. In other words, what I just said, the devil's schemes from the outside and the inside still weren't working. They were all together. Those that were believers were all together. And get where they were? In Solomon's colonnade. Us in Texas know that as a big old porch, right? Outside the temple. It's where Jesus would preach. That's where Peter and John preached after they healed the man a few chapters ago. And they're back there again this day under Solomon's portico, all together. But what we can see here when we get to verse 13 that there's a little bit of friction going on. It looks like, well, maybe even though those disciples that are still dedicated to him and the apostles, they're all still there. But if we look in verse 13, turn my paper over. It says, none of the rest dared to join them. And what we're talking about here is at this time, they weren't getting any new believers. The original few, remember there's thousands, they were there, but they weren't getting any new people now. None of them dared to join them. There were some there that were interested in the message. There were some there that kind of thought this was a cool message. They thought, hey, this is Jesus. He was just walking around a few months ago. We can't find him anymore. They said they saw him. We like what he was preaching. But I don't really want to commit. I don't want to join these Christians just yet. I don't want to follow this way because, I don't know. I mean, I already saw them arrest a lot of folks. I kind of already saw them. God struck a couple people dead last time. I don't know if I want to commit to this, right? And we get those kind of folks all the time. Jesus is a great teacher. He does all kinds of cool things, but I really don't want to join him because if I join him, then he's going to change my life. And I like doing what I do now more than I like doing with a new life. So you have this group, and it even says that they held them in high esteem. So they thought that they were doing some pretty neat things, but they're like, I don't know. I like what y'all are doing. I don't know, though. I really don't want to do that. I really don't want to join them. So if we're looking on the outside, right, if we have this picture of the church and we're kind of looking at this from the outside, well, maybe the devil is winning. Right? Well, I mean, the people are staying together, but they're not getting any new people now. But then we get to verse 14. And more than ever. We've already seen thousands join this church. We've already seen thousands join this movement. And God and Luke is telling us that even though there was a whole bunch of people that didn't want to join it, now more than ever, believers were being added to the Lord. It says multitudes of both men and women. Despite maybe thinking that the church isn't growing, God's growing His church. We're not stopping him. This first point is his mission. The first point is seeing that they're not going to be able to stop his mission. So despite these outside pressures, thinking that no one is joining the church, Luke says, hey, that's what it looked like, but here's what was really happening. More than ever, believers were being added to. Multitudes of men and women. So much so that they were admiring these signs, that they were taking people to the apostles. It says, verse 15, so that even they carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats. And as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on them. They were so endeavored and so committed and so enamored by what they were doing. They said, maybe if even Peter's shadow falls on them, then they will be healed. And they came from all over. Verse 16, the people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. The word's getting out, right? This mission of God to take this word of His Son, the saving Son of Jesus Christ, this mission is still going. And it's done filled Jerusalem. We're going to see that here in a minute. And people are coming from all over. But let's think back at what we saw in chapter 4. Remember Peter and John, they healed this man at the beautiful gate. Crowds are gathering around because they healed this man. And the Sadducees are like, no, I don't like that. I don't like that. So what did they do? They went and arrested them. Well, the Sadducees, remember this, we're only a few weeks removed from that. The Sadducees are like, wait a minute. That's that same group. They're still doing this. We told them not to do this anymore. They're still doing it. They didn't listen to us. They're still out there doing this. So in verse 17, we see that the high priest rose up, and all who were with them, that's the party of the Sadducees, right? Remember, the Sadducees are the ones that don't believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees are the ones that don't believe in the supernatural, we could say. They don't believe in angels. They don't believe in anything like that. This makes them mad, right? So mad that it says they were filled with jealousy. And when we look at this word jealousy in the Greek, it's more like a zeal. They have a burning fire for what they believe in. The only thing is that they believed in the wrong thing, right? In the Ten Commandments, God says, I'm a jealous God. Or in Exodus, He says, I'm a jealous God. He has a zeal for His way, but it's a righteous zeal. These people had a similar type zeal, but it was an unrighteous zeal. They were jealous because the apostles were getting the power. Or not the power, but the respect. They were jealous because the apostles were having, people were going to the apostles and not them. Right? They were zealous for their religion, but not zealous for the Jesus. And the apostles were zealous for Jesus. And we can see what that was getting them. So they come in, they're mad, they're jealous. And what they do? They arrested the apostles and put them in a public prison. And we can kind of see here how they're intensifying their thing. They're like, okay, according to our scripture, a couple chapters ago, we just kind of took them to a little jail. Well, now they're taking them to the public prison. The public prison, which tells us a few things. First of all, they want to publicly humiliate them. They want to publicly shame them. They want them to know, they want everyone to know, hey, we're the ones with the power here. These apostles, look, we're arresting them, which means we have authority over them. They said, we got the power. They don't. They wanted to shame them. Remember when Jesus was beaten, as He was drawn through the streets, as He carried His cross. The point of Him carrying the cross through the streets was so people could shame Him and say, look, here's this criminal going down here. There was shame in that, and they're wanting to do this to these guys. This is the same group that did this to Jesus. And they're wanting to shame these guys as well. Why did they want to shame them? Because these guys were being Christians. They were helping people and they were loving people and they were getting all the attention. I love what William Barclay said about this. The way to spread Christianity is to be Christian. Jesus sends us out not to argue men into Christianity, still less to threaten them into, but to attract them into it, to live so that its fruits may be so wonderful that others will desire them for themselves. These people were living out the mission of Jesus Christ, God's mission, and these Sadducees did not like it. They did not like it. So they go, they get them, they publicly arrest them, they take them to the public jail. And this is, I heard people say God ain't got a sense of humor. But this is pretty cool. Look what happens in verse 19. And we have our but. Remember, Walter, I always say it, but. When something comes up, but, you know, something's changing after that. We see this change here, where we're going from what looks like being stopped to knowing that it is absolutely unstoppable. It says in verse 19, but during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out. Remember what I just said, right? Sadducees, they don't believe in the supernatural. They don't believe in resurrection. They don't believe in angels. And who did God send to get them out? An angel. I thought that was pretty awesome that God's like, yo, you don't believe in these angels? Well, here, I'm going to use these angels to get them people out of here. And we'll see what you think about that. But what's beautiful and what I want us to focus with in these first few verses comes in verse 20. It says, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. We get action here. This angel didn't come to Peter and John and the rest of the apostles and say, hey, y'all just sit here in the jail and just sit there. Well, he said, hey, we're all about God's mission right now, and part of His mission is to get to work. Part of His mission is to go and do the things, be that Christian that William Barclay just mentioned. And He gives them some commands. He says, go. Remember Matthew, Great Commission? What does He tell them? Go and make disciples. And here the angel is telling them, y'all go. Go. Go back to the place you were, where you were just arrested, where Jesus preached, where they arrested you the last time. Go back there, and what do? They're to speak. Proclaim. This mission doesn't get spread unless we spread the mission. Right? It's amazing that God lets us participate in His plan of salvation. Right? God could easily just say, "Ah, y'all are saved." But He brings us in and allows us to be part of His mission to speak the truth. Speak the way, the truth, and the what? The life. What does it say here? The words of this life. A couple of things, right? Life is Jesus Christ. That He is the life. When we look at Genesis and John 1, He is the one that spoke things into the existence. He did the manual labor, we could say, when it comes to creating the universe. God ordained it. Jesus was the hands that did it. And the Holy Spirit hovered and made sure that it all happened. He is the words of life. He gives us all life. And through Him, we get new life. And they're telling Him, hey, go back. And you know what? You're going to preach these words of life to the very ones that killed my son. Because that's what kind of God we have. That's how He is not stop. He is unstoppable. He wants even the ones that killed His son to have this new life. And when we think about our sin, and when we think about the ways that we are separated from God, we can all say we all killed Jesus. We all nailed Him to the cross with our sin and when we fall short. But He still comes after us. It's not going to stop His mission. He still comes after us, wanting us to have this new life that He gives us. And what do the apostles do after that? When they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and they began to teach. They listened to what He said. Part of God's mission, as we think of the fact that we have an unstoppable God with an unstoppable mission, is that us folks of God, us Christians that we just talked about, are not supposed to listen to anyone else. We're just supposed to listen to God and go out and spread His word, His mission. And He says to go and do it. Prayer is absolutely important. Prayer is vital. We are to pray, but we also have to be obedient and go do it. We can't just sit in our room and pray for people to come to Christ unless we obey what we pray for and go out there and tell them about it, right? And that's what He's telling them to do. They went out and prayed, and they went out and spoke the words of life. That is the mission. God's mission is the saving work of Jesus Christ. The mission that God has established is that we go out and carry out His mission through telling people about Jesus Christ. That is the mission, and nothing is going to stop it. I can think about our church. Here, Crescent Valley Baptist Church, 1902 this church was established. Y'all know that? 1902, it's probably a little bit different building. 1902 this church was established. And get this, this church that we're sitting in right now has been through two world wars, has been through a depression, has been through the sexual revolution, it's been through cultural upheaval, it's been through the civil rights movement, it's been through a pandemic, it's been through Harvey, it's gone from no electricity to electricity and TVs hanging in its in a sanctuary to, again, no electricity. It's gone from busting at the seams. At one point they were talking about we were going to have to build another building to going down to where there's just maybe 10 or 15, 20 faithful few here. This church has been through it all, but you know what? It's still here. Whether or not it had 100 and something or 10 or 15, the church has always been about His mission. His goal to make Christ known. Walter Stockton, I'm going to bring up this little story Shannon told me a minute ago. But Walter mentioned during his Bible study that this church is like the hope on the highway. And I love that. I wish I would have thought of it. But he called this church the hope on the highway. And that cross that's dangling, it's still there though. Our playground got picked up and gone over there, but that little cross on top of our steeple is still there. It's a little crooked. And I hope it's okay I tell this story. But a few Mondays ago, they had their awesome Monday night study. Things were packed up. They were ready to go. They were probably staying later than they should have. A couple of our men were here. A man struggling. Struggling with I don't even know what. Said he was driving down that road and he saw the cross lit up. What time was it? 10? 10 or so, we'll say. He saw that cross lit up, and he pulled into this church. We've never had Monday night. This might be the only Monday nights that I've ever known in the history of church that we had some sort of Bible study going. On a Monday night, he pulled into this church, and some of our men were here, And this man wanted to end his life. Until he saw that cross on top of that steeple. And not only that, not were the men inside, the men happened to be outside. When he pulled in, was able to meet him at the door and pray with him. And I don't know what's happened to that man. But I know the mission of God will not be stopped. And that night, not even whatever had entered this man to think he needed in his life, God stopped whatever had done that to him. And he was able to pull into this church, to this hope on this highway that's been here through thick and thin. Why? Because we're about God's mission. That is what we must understand. There's going to be times when not just corporately as a church, remember our text is about the church, but there's going to be times even in our lives where we're going to hit these storms, right? There's going to be time in our lives when we want to give up, when we're going to want to be silenced. But I want us to remember that no matter what's happening in our lives, no matter what's happening in the storms of our lives or what we're going through, that you can't stop God. That if we believe in His mission, His message, and His movement, which is His church and what He's doing for us, there's not stopping us. Are we going to go through hell? Yes. Yes, we are. There's nowhere in Scripture does it promise us that we believe in Jesus, we're going to have a perfect and great life. But we're going to have an unstoppable life, meaning it won't stop at death. Meaning that whatever we're going through right now won't stop us. Because we're going to keep living. And we're going to keep living with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So let's move to our second point. The second thing we see is that nothing can stop God's message. Now that was most of our text, right? So, cool. Nothing can stop His message. Because you can't have a mission unless you have a message to proclaim. Right? So what happens? They arrest these guys. They go back out to the portico. The angel says, go to the portico. They do it. The Sanhedrin, they're gathered together in their council, 70 men or so, right? They're gathered together. They say, okay, go pick up the apostles out there and bring them back to our council. We're gonna intensify this punishment. We're going to make it worse than it was before because they're still not listening to us. They send them back. They're not there. If we look at verses, where are we at? 21 or 22 through to 26 or so. To summarize that, they sent them to go get these guys and they weren't there. Why? Because that angel just broke them out. And then they were like, where are they at? It's daybreak now. They can't find them. And then somebody spots them. Oh, they're back at the portico. They're back there preaching what we just told them not to. So they go get them again. They go get them again. But this time they get them a little differently. They don't take them under such pressure this time. Right, they just go and get them because they're afraid that the people are going to stone them if they go get them violently. So they do it a little differently this time. They go get them, but not by force, verse 26 says, because they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And they got them and they bring them in front of this council. I remember when we described it last time as like this horseshoe where all the most powerful people gathered and they kind of set you in the middle to be the most intimidating place that it could be. They bring all of them. First time it was Peter and John, this time it's a whole group of them. And they say, hey, didn't we strictly charge you not to teach in His name? Verse 28. Yet here you fill Jerusalem with your teaching. You intend to bring this man's blood upon us. A couple of things here. They're mad. They bring him there. They're mad because they told him not to do it and they still did it anyways. And then it says, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. This can easily slide under our radar here. But if we look back at Acts chapter 1, we get like kind of a table of contents of the book of Acts. We get kind of how the gospel is spread. And in verse 8, it says, you will receive power and the Holy Spirit will come to you and you will be my witnesses where? In Jerusalem. And here in verse 28, it says, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. So guess, you know what this is? Check mark number one. This mission that they instilled to him, that Jesus instilled to him in Acts chapter 1, it's now been checked. They have filled all of Jerusalem with the message of hope and truth and salvation through Jesus Christ. And they're like, you're trying to make us look bad. But the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than man. We're going to talk about it here in a second. But there's places all over this world where the government wants to shut down the gospel. And I'm going to tell you something. I know some of us bleed red, white, and blue. And I know we say Pledge of Allegiance to that flag. But it would not surprise me if one day our government tells us we can't preach this gospel. And we need to be prepared for that. We need to be ready for that. That nobody will shut down His message. Because one day we probably will be asked to. Maybe not us, maybe not our kids, maybe our grandkids. I don't know. It might be tomorrow. But we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared to say what Peter said here in the apostles. We must obey God rather than men. Now that doesn't mean we just completely not follow any rules. We can see they went with them, the authorities at hand, they went with them civilly. We're still to follow the laws of the land as long as the laws of the land doesn't go against the law of God. And part of this message is that we must stay true to the message of Jesus Christ. And then I love this, because then we get the gospel. He gives them the gospel. What's the message? The message is the gospel of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, this God of our Father raised Jesus. And notice he says, our Father, because he wants to make sure that they know that this is the same God. Our father of Abraham, our fathers of Joseph, all of our fathers, the patriarchs. We have the same fathers. You're just not figuring out that Jesus came from him too. He's trying to relay and say, hey, this is the same God that y'all are following. It's just you are denying the Messiah. He said, this God, our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. That's the cross. That's one of the first parts of the gospel. We hung Jesus on the tree with our sin. And then verse 31, the second part of the gospel, the good news is that God exalted him at his right hand. He rose on the third day and now he is seated at the right hand of God, being our mediator, telling God that, hey, all those lies that they're believing, all those things, all those sins, remember, I died for that. And he's still wiping us clean. That's the second part of the gospel. And he is a leader and he is our Savior, it says, to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. And later we'll know when it gets to the ends of the world, that includes us. That's the gospel. That is the message of Jesus Christ that we are to proclaim to the world, no matter who tries to tell us to stop. That is the message. That is the message of Jesus Christ. Adoniram Judson, he's known as one of the first American Baptist foreign ministers, missionaries. He went to Burma, arrested by the Burmese government. 17 months this man spent in prison under conditions that were supposed to break him, conditions that were supposed to make him say, okay, I will deny this Jesus. But he didn't. What was Burma's goal? They wanted to eradicate Christianity from Burma entirely. But guess what outlasted the government? His message. This man, he survived. He ended up translating the Bible into their language. He ended up completing a dictionary for them. And you know what? Today there are 3 to 4 million Christians in Myanmar. The government that imprisoned him is gone, but the message he spoke, the message of a Christ Jesus crucified and raised on the third day for the salvation of our sins, that is still there. The message of life is still there because you cannot silence what God has commissioned to be spoken. It will outlast them. Church, our goal is not to protect the message. Just to proclaim the message. God doesn't need our protection. He needs our proclamation. He has commissioned us to proclaim His message. Our job is to declare it clearly, faithfully, and without apology like we've done for 120 years. And when it comes to our message, brothers and sisters, individually, we don't save anyone. This message that we proclaim, it's not us saving them. It's us giving the message of the one who does. We don't argue anyone into the kingdom of heaven. We don't debate anyone in the kingdom of heaven. We act like Christians, like William Barclay said, and God will change their heart. They will repent and come to Him. He will convict them. Their salvation is between them and God. We just have to be faithful to this message, which leads us to our third and final point of the morning, the movement. We know that nothing can stop the mission of God, nothing can stop the message of God, and nothing can stop the movement of God. That is His church that He is growing forevermore. In verse 33, they heard this and they were enraged. They wanted to kill Him. They didn't like this message. They didn't like this mission. They wanted to kill them. They were trying to stop it once and for all. If we just kill all of them, then this message can't keep going. But just like God used Pharaoh to raise up the Exodus, just like God used all these rulers to find a way to continue the rest of the mission, God uses a member of the Sanhedrin. God uses a high priest to keep His message and His mission going. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, teacher of the law, held in honor by all people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a while. He's like, hey, that's enough of this. These guys in the center, y'all go out for a minute. I got something to say. And he essentially tells them the next couple of verses, it's like, hey, we've seen this before. There's been other people that have been raised up saying they're the Messiah. There's been other movements that have happened. And what happened to them? He names a couple of them, but they both faded away. As soon as the leader was gone, the movement faded away. His name's Thaddeus. He was killed, just like Jesus was. Those who followed him were dispersed and it came to nothing. Then he calls out Judas the Galilean. He rose up and drew some people after him. He too was perished. And all who followed him were scattered. Once the leader died, what happened? Movement died. Verse 38, so in this present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. And in the Greek, this is fighting against God. And we already know God's an unstoppable God. So what do you think is going to happen if we try to fight against Him? It isn't going to work. This wise man stood up and said, hey, there's something different going on. If this really is fake, then it's just going to fizzle out because we already killed their leader. But if this is of God, then we're not stopping it. There's no stopping the mission and the message and the movement of our God. They can do whatever they want to us. It says that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Right. 2,000 or so years later, our leader was killed. And this movement is still going. His church is still growing. And they say, took his advice. But they said, we're going to take your advice, but we're not done with them yet. We still want to show them who really is in authority. And they called them in. They beat them. 39 lashes, because 40 was the most you could get. Beat them 39 times. Told them not to speak in the name of Jesus and then let them go. What did the apostles do as they left in verse 41? They left the presence of the council rejoicing to be counted worthy to suffer dishonor in His name. To be counted worthy to suffer as Christ suffered. And it says they rejoiced. How many of us can rejoice when we're going through what seems to be impossible? It's hard, isn't it? But these apostles were so focused on the mission and the message of God that they rejoiced, that they were so in tune with His will that they were beaten the same way Jesus was. They left rejoicing. And I tell you what, you really want to make some Sadducees mad? Rejoice after they beat you. These apostles were beaten 39 times. And what did they do after that? It says, every day in the temple, from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that Christ is Jesus. This is the movement. They weren't stopping them. You can't stop God, y'all. You can't. Every day, we are to live by these three things. Every day, we are to align by the mission, the movement, and the message of God. What's up? We're to align with those three things. Not just on Sunday morning. Not just when we have electricity and air conditioning. Every single day. When those storms blow in, when those winds blow in, when that tornado blows in, when we lose our jobs, when we can't get along with our family at home, every single day we stick to His mission and we will not be able to stop Him. Every day, it says, and not just at church, from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that this is the Christ. We talked in the beginning about maybe feeling something that's impossible. Maybe you're sitting here right now feeling that something's going on that's impossible in your life. And I just want you to understand that Acts chapter 5, again, isn't a promise that God's going to fix everything. Remember, we saw that the apostles were flogged. But what God did in the midst of these storms was not take the storms away, but made them unbreakable in the middle of the storms. And when we're going through these things, both as a church and individually, when we're going through these storms of life, these winds of life, God will make us unbreakable in the middle of them. And if we stick to these three things, His mission, His message, and His movement, then nothing can stop us. He will be in the midst of it with us, and He will see us to the other side. God's purpose through us can't be stopped. Not by any system, not by any government, not by any circumstances, not even by our own weaknesses. And if we're keeping score all through Scripture, of all the times that somebody has tried to stop God and His plan of salvation and His plan for His people, it's God every time. And everyone and all the other things, zero. Rest in that as we move out of here this morning, that God will get us through every time because we serve an unstoppable God. Amen. Go ahead, and y'all. We're going to come up and we'll go into our time of invitation. If y'all, we have another song. I know y'all didn't have to put the blankets on, but I'm sweating like crazy up here. But I want y'all to know that if you haven't put your faith and trust in this unstoppable God, then you're still leaning on something that's going to break every single time.